Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the End Buzz Show. My name is Ed Molina. My partner in crime, as usual, Fuzzy Biscuit. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Okay. You're right. Yeah. You on? You were cutting it close there.
Yeah. But I got here.
Well, that's what's up. What's good, man?
Nothing. Just, I guess, football.
Yeah.
The only new thing.
I played Bulls on Parade for a friend of the show, Bonnie, who's a Texans fan, and that's I don't know if they still come out to that song, but that's the song that they used to come out to, Rage Against the Machine's Bulls on Parade, which is one of my favorite guitar riffs on the planet. Just the way that shit kicks in, bam, 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 bam. I know you hate Rage Against the Machine, but one of my favorite all-time metal bands, and probably one of the more modern-day influential bands out there. The thing that sucks about COVID is I've never gotten to see Rage Against the Machine. I was supposed to go watch Rage Against the Machine at a show in Worcester, Massachusetts, back in, I want to say, 94, and I almost got into a fight with a guy from Plymouth Rock who thought he was hard body because he was bragging, like, you know, oh, I'm from Plymouth Rock, like, that's supposed to mean something.
Not just Plymouth Rock.
Yes. He was very adamant about the rock part. I'm from Plymouth Rock. Like, and he was saying it like he was hard body, like he was really about that life. Meanwhile, I rolled in there because my ride to the show, they wanted to see, it was that Wu-Tang Rage Against the Machine tour. That was a fucking utter shit show and a disaster. And that should have been, that was the start of my night, and I should have known it was going to go downhill from there. But I was there with some goons from Dorchester, like a bunch of Dominican goons from Dorchester who weren't impressed with this Plymouth Rock thing either, apparently. So it wasn't a misunderstanding of a New Yorker being in a mass hole situation. It was just a situation where, like, dude was trying to act hard body being from Plymouth Rock. Emphasis on the rock, because he really tried to emphasize that, you know how, like, motherfuckers throw around the word, yo, I'm from East New York, son, or yo, or to put it in Massachusetts terms, yo, I'm from Roxbury, or some shit like that, I'm from Murder Pant, you know what I mean? Like, he said that really with the conviction of, like, I'm supposed to be scared that he's from Plymouth Rock. Like, to this day, that's the part that it impressed me. Like, he said this with the energy like he from Compton or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, he, you know, them pilgrims was repping hard like the Bloods and Crips, I guess. I don't know. But I'm sorry. It's just the song brought me back to that day because it was just a day that went down. The worst part is I didn't even get to see Wu-Tang Clan. I saw, like, Killer Army, Shaheem, Method Man, and, like, and maybe a drunk old dirty bastard. Like, that's pretty much what I got out of that tour. So I didn't have the best Wu experience. It wasn't a Wu Wednesday for me. Sorry, I digress. That was that was my Rage Against the Machine story.
It's all right. It's all right. Sometimes music can trigger us. It's okay.
I was supposed to see Rage Against the Machine this year in concert a couple of weeks ago. They were supposed to be playing at the Garden with Killer Mike and what's it called? LP, what are they called?
Run the Jewels.
Yeah, I was supposed to, which I was actually looking forward to seeing Run the Jewels. I liked the music. I don't, you know, I know I shit a lot on a lot of modern day music, rock, metal, hip hop, all of it. But, you know, I always liked LP and I always fuck with Killer Mike. So I thought it was going to be a cool show to make up for having missed out on Wu-Tang and Rage Against the Machine. But the COVID guy said, oh, no, Ed, you're not going to any show this year. So, anywho, let's get into it. I'm sure you hate Rage Against the Machine. I know you like some metal, but I just can't see you being a Zach De La Roca fan.
No, I don't believe in, like, I don't know. It's one of those things. It's, I like rap. I like metal. I don't like them together. There's never been like a rap metal group or act or anything that I've been like, I haven't liked any of them.
Well, what's funny is I take my L's from my hip hop friends. I take L's from them because, like, yo, how can you listen to that metal shit? And I take L's from my metalhead friends on some, not how you can listen to that hip hop shit, but how you can listen to that new metal shit. That's what that genre was called, new metal. You know, when it's really good, it's the Deftones and it's Rage Against the Machine. When it's really bad, and I admit I own their albums because, you know, you were there. But when it's really bad, it's Limp Bizkit. You know? Sold
did
a lot
you,
of shit
did you
record.
Buy Limp Bizkit album?
Yes, yes, I did. I did buy Insignificant Other. I
oh,
own that
wow.
album. Yes, yes, I did. I absolutely, not only did I
wow.
buy it, I was in line to see them live, Cypress Hill and like, I missed the day. I got in trouble from work because of that. And then you wonder why I'm not at the Boston Herald. I took a day off to go try to get free tickets to see Limp Bizkit and Cypress Hill at the stand in Rhode Island. I think it was Rhode Island. Yeah, but I got in trouble for that because the riot
the
broke
Strand?
Out. Somebody hit me. Yeah, I think it was the Strand in I want to say.
Yeah, the Strand.
Not Worcester. Yeah, it was in Rhode
Providence.
Island. Yes.
Providence.
That's where my boy saw Biggie.
Yeah, they had a couple good, like, clubs that used to have. Shit, there were some acts that would play Providence and they wouldn't play Boston.
Well, I heard a rumor. I heard a legend. Legend has it a lot of hip-hop acts wouldn't play Boston because fucking Benzino, allegedly, because I don't want to get sued, but Benzino's crew out of Roxbury, that whole Almighty RSO BS bullshit and that whole fucking Made Men shit, they were robbing motherfuckers coming into town. So, like, Craig Mack got robbed for his chain by a bunch of fucking Roxbury goons. Are you coming? Is Bad Boy, is that going to entice Bad Boy to come back to Boston? You know what I'm saying? Like, you got, when you got that kind of shit going on, it, you know, a lot of people, the racism was part of it, why the hip-hop scene sucked. And I know Benzino gets all the love and props because of the source and whatnot. But, yo, a lot of his fucking goons prevented good shows from coming to Boston. And the racism was part of it, why they couldn't play Boston. The other part was, yo, these motherfuckers are robbing the artists. You're not going to come. You know this. You know in D.C., like, motherfuckers get taken for the chains. They're not coming back. They're not doing a show there again. You know, I've always – that's me, though. Like, before I get myself – like, I know Benzino got stands. I never realized Benzino, man got stands. But, yo, a lot of that shit was on Almighty RSO and Made Men and that whole bullshit. So, like, the stories I've heard, shit. Anyway, enough of that, enough music. Let's get into it. All Out, what did you think of the show? What was your impressions of the show? I didn't think this has been as good a pay-per-view as their other ones have been. I did enjoy it. I have to admit, I think I enjoyed Payback a little bit better, WWE-wise, although, again, pardon me, that's the side of talking. I try not to cross compare, you know, brand compare, I guess you will. But what do you think of All Out this Saturday?
Pretty much same as you. I thought it was subpar. I don't know if AEW has raised my expectations or maybe I raised my expectations too high, but it just didn't do it for me. For one, it was too long. I don't remember AEW having a pay-per-view that long. But I think I missed the first All Out. But I don't know. It's just, I guess because it wasn't that good, it seemed long, maybe. I don't know. But, I mean, it was okay to me. I mean, and the match I was most excited for didn't really do it for me. I mean, there was probably, like, two or three solid matches. Maybe I'll give you four. You know, And no, I agree with what you said about Payback. I thought Payback was a better pay-per-view. It wasn't as long, and I thought that like most of the matches were actually really good. So yeah, I was actually kind of surprised, because most of all, you know, anytime I've gotten an AEW pay-per-view, it's always delivered, but I don't know about this one.
Is it just me, or I you kind of hit the nail on the head. I feel like AEW pay-per-views are getting longer and longer each time out. I feel like WWE pay-per-views are getting shorter and shorter each time out. Now, it's kind of funny, because I remember after the WrestleMania when we went to New Orleans, we were like, God damn, that was a marathon. We were, what, 7 hours in that venue?
You and Bonnie were there. You and Bonnie had at least, I think, an extra hour, because I got there after you guys.
Right, because we did the
pre-show
and everything.
But it still seemed like I was there like for like 15 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And so,
but you guys were there probably like an hour longer than I was.
Yeah. And like I said, we got there for the pre-show and whatnot. Like, it, you know, it was, there were people there, but it was starting to fill up. And so, but yeah, my point is, it's, I don't know. I think about since Mania, since these shows started going without crowds, I've noticed WWE pay-per-views are getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And I don't know if that's because there's no crowd to like force to sell merch on, meaning, you know, the more downtime you have, the more likely fans are to buy concessions and merch. I don't know if that's what it is that's making the shows more compact. But yeah, you're right. You're right about that. The AEW shows do seem to be getting longer and longer and longer each time out. Because it's funny, I joke in front of the show, Bonnie's like, oh, show should be over by 10 o'clock. It's a 7 o'clock start. She goes, no fucking way. She goes, no fucking way. They'll go to 11:30. 11:30, here we are, still watching AEW. Now, it can drag. I think this one dragged a little bit, or sometimes it can be good. You know, sometimes there's so much good action going on that it does seem like it's going on forever. But I don't think that was the case this time around. You know, let's go through the matches. We started with, so I thought that Big Swole was going to start the pre-show. I could have sworn that's the way they'd advertised it. But we ended up getting Joey Janela versus Serpentico and Private Party versus Dark Order, which was okay for what it was. That's what you want out of an opening match. You know, I just think it's hilarious that we expected Dark Order. Just last week, we were talking about big things for Dark Order and Private Party, and here they are, not even curtain jerking. They're in the dark show. So,
yeah.
Kind of shows you where we were at in the booking spot. But they did open the show with Britt Baker and Big Swole. What did you, this, would you call this a cinematic match?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know what it was supposed to be. I don't think they ever said what a tooth and nail match was.
I agree with
obviously
that.
Obviously, with Britt Baker, you know, you'd think, oh, tooth, dentist, but tooth and nail, where's the nail? I don't know. Like, it was weird because it was like, you know, there was nothing for us to know what it was, what it should be. And I thought it was pretty bad. Anytime, like, the finish is caused by an injection and then nerve gas or whatever it is, I'm like, come on, man. I don't, it's wrestling. Like, it was an injection and nerve gas.
You know
what
I'm glad
thing.
It was?
Like WWE has been, like, the one that's been, like, out there with, you could say, like, you know, obviously the eye for an eye. Say the swamp match, like, you know, there's been some wild stuff going on over there with Vince. AEW hasn't done like the craziness, like, you know, the wild stuff like that. But this was kind of like, when I saw this, I was like, between this and the Mimosa match, I was like, you guys are kind of doing the same thing. And then I don't know if you've noticed, but I saw a meme online. I believe like every other than, I believe other than Cheetah, every belt holder is ex-WWE. So I don't know. Is AEW like falling into line with Vince's formula now? I don't know.
I will say this. After we saw a pretend eye get gouged out, I'm glad that the finale of this match wasn't to have a tooth pulled out or a nail extracted, because that would have sucked the scene. I don't know how you... excuse me. I don't think I could have watched, tolerated teeth being pulled out. No, I can actually watch an eye being pulled out, you know, kayfabe. I don't know about a tooth. Like, but you're right about that. We really didn't have any idea what to expect in this match. I was, in a weird way, there's a part of me that hopes this is it. This was the payoff to this rivalry. I hope not. And then part of me is like, you know what? If this is the direction we're going, I'm cool with this. Let this be the payoff. But it was a little bit of a letdown, because so much buildup of this rivalry between Big Swole and Britt Baker over the last couple of months, as Britt Baker was injured. I think they did a great job building it up. You know, you're talking about the Novocaine and the laughing gas. I was worried when they pulled out the drill. I was a little worried. It's like, where are we going with this? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
I was just like, where are we going with this? No, I've had enough eyeballs being gouged out. No. You're right. There was no rhyme or reason or direction to that match. And it's a shame, because I thought I was really invested in the rivalry between these two young women, and it just, yeah, I you know, if that's the payoff, then. Maybe we best keep it moving. Speaking of keeping it moving, Young Bucks versus Jurassic Express. Now, with this match, maybe my expectations are high. Maybe, again, that was a problem, that as AEW keeps improving as a brand, we keep raising our expectations. I was expecting a little bit more. I did like the end of it, in the sense of the story they're trying to tell for down the road. But, again, something was missing about that match. I don't know what it was.
I don't know. I thought it was, you know, it didn't like knock my socks off, but I thought it was a pretty solid match. I mean, it's hard. I guess if you're not into the, I don't know. To me, like, the Young Bucks are definitely spot heavy, but I think Jurassic Express is almost equally spot heavy. So, I mean, if that's not your style, you're not going to like it. I liked it. I thought it was a good match. I didn't think it was great. But comparatively, I thought it was one of the better matches of the night.
I agree with that. And I do like the story they're telling of, I guess, you know, the Young Bucks are going dark. They're going back to their Bullet Club ways, if you will, back, you know, going heel. They're showing signs of that. And you kind of saw elements of that later in the night, but we'll get to that in a minute. Then we had the 21-man Battle Royal. Lance Archer ends up winning. Oh, excuse me. I guess they think highly of Eddie Kingston to have him there all the way at the end. I think very highly of Eddie Kingston. I think he throws the best promos in the business. I've been saying this now for the last couple of weeks. I think he throws the best promos in the business. That whole Yonkers shut the fuck up. You know, that DMX, yo, that whole DMX vibe, I'm feeling it. I like Eddie Kingston, and I like how they set that up. Apparently, although, as we saw, did you watch, because I don't want to be a spoiler, did you watch AEW yesterday?
Well, when he said that he didn't get
eliminated.
He never got tossed out of it, yeah.
Yeah, he might be right. He might be right. But yay or nay, we'll get to that in a second. We'll work with Eddie Kingston down the road. But yay or nay with Lance Archer getting this title shot?
I mean, I'll put it this way. When there were like six people left in the ring, my friend I was watching with, he was like, who do you think's going to win? And to me, it was, like, pretty clear, like, with those left, that it was going to be Lance Archer. I think it could be a good match. Like, this is the type of match that I wouldn't mind seeing Moxley in. You know, is he the guy, my first pick to win it? No, but I'm not mad. You know, he could have, you know, if they build it up, you know, Jake the Snake is a really good mouthpiece. You know, Jake the Snake promos, Mox promos, they're attacking each other, build it up. It could be a good match. I'm not really mad about it.
Okay, so I've seen this match. Meaning, Murderhawk was the IWGP U.S. champion. Him and Mox fought, I want to say, was it New Year's Dash? Or was it the second night? I think it was the second night. No, it was the first night of Wrestle Kingdom. Mox fought against Archer. It was Texas Death... I guess essentially the last man standing, Texas Death Match, they called it in New Japan, last man standing. I agree with you. Their styles are very complementary. I think it was a fun match, hard-hitting match. I think, like you said, you pointed out, this is more in the wheelhouse of Mox as far as his style of hardcore that he does. What I like about the dynamic, you hit the nail on the head. When you're in New Japan, you don't have to worry about throwing promos if you're an American. You know what I mean? You can get by not throwing promos. The reason a guy like Lance Archer can get over in a place like Japan is because, yo, he just has to stand there and look mean, and it worked. You know, it worked for him for a long time. It helped that his mouthpiece in Japan was Minoru Suzuki. You know what I'm saying? Like, someone who's very over in Japanese wrestling. And so I've seen the match in a lot of ways. So I am looking forward to it. The dynamic that I'm glad that you threw in there, that you added, is the Jake the Snake Roberts component. Because now, I know you're not a big fan of Mox, but the guy could throw a promo, at least compared to half of the business out there. I know you're very big on the stick, you know, phrasing, pun intended, whatever. you're big about being good on the stick. And Mox, for however you feel about him, is pretty good on the stick. And I think having Jake Roberts versus Moxley on the mic, I think, adds another layer to this matchup that I really am looking forward to. I felt it should have gone to Brian Cage. If they're going to split him up, maybe your boy Ray Phoenix, but we'll see. I don't mind Lance Archer winning this. So after that, we had the controversy of the night. Sammy Guevara versus Matt Hardy in a Broken Rules match, which, again, that match had the same dilemma as Big Swole and Britt Baker, that we really didn't know what it was till we knew what it was. I thought the match should have been stopped for Matt Hardy's own safety. From my angle, and again, I'm just looking at the TV angle, that looked, he landed bad. I understand the stipulation was Matt Hardy leaves forever if he loses, but you can always rewrite these things in the world of kayfabe. There's always ways around it. I understand that the Carney mentality is the show must go on, but, yo, I remember how fucked up it was. And maybe that's extreme, you know, comparing it to when Owen died. But sometimes you got to protect these. I say this about boxers and MMA fighters, and I think it's the same thing with wrestlers. Sometimes you gotta protect people from themselves. I didn't like any of this. I didn't like this match. Maybe that's why I'm a little harsh. I think considering it was in the middle of the pay-per-view, it dulled up the rest of the... I don't know. What do you think? Do you think the match should have been stopped? Do you think it should have continued? Even the explanation, I don't know. What do you think?
I definitely think it should have been stopped. I thought when I was watching it that it was stopped. It was kind of weird how it kind of was over and then it started again. And I don't know. It's just kind of a whole weird thing. Because I guess afterward, what is it, Khan tweeted oh, he's all good, no concussion or anything. And then his wife was saying, he's in the hospital, it's a concussion and all that. I don't know. It seems to be that it was a concussion, or you know, some type of something serious if he's not going to be around for a while. But you know, it wasn't that great a match, and it wasn't that long. So I was assuming, okay, it shouldn't have, he really did mess his head up right there. And then like, I don't even understand the point of restarting it, because then they just like basically went up another tower, but then Sammy Guevara fell down.
Right. Yeah, I don't. And allegedly, at some point, Matt Hardy collapsed or passed out at one point as he was rolling with Guevara. Again, I don't know this. I don't. You know what I mean? But it just. It looked bad, and you know, sometimes you got to protect these guys from themselves. They should have stopped that fight. I understand you're trying to tell a story. You could explain it in other ways. You could have had Matt Hardy come reincarnated or something. There are ways you could have worked with this. But, and especially with the stipulation of last man standing, they should have just stopped it. They could have, you know, for the guy's own safety, you could have sold it a number of ways. You know, if we can believe, like you said, if we can believe Bray Wyatt and his husky ass can levitate, then I think we can believe that Matt Hardy somehow came back to save his career in AEW. Just saying. That match was, yeah, I think that match kind of let the air out of the pay-per-view because it was scary to watch. He landed really badly on his head, and you can tell, like, something wasn't right. So I would have stopped the match, too. That's just me. From there, what I thought was match of the night, Hikaru Shida versus Thunder Rosa. Lived up to the hype. I think both women did a great job. I think, again, coming right, you know how like the Rey Mysterio eyeball popping out kind of let the air out of the match for Sasha Banks and Asuka? I felt like the same thing happened with this, because of what happened to Matt Hardy. You know, and being concerned about his well-being, it kind of let the air out of this match where you weren't. I don't think I was as focused as I could have been. I did enjoy the match. I thought it was the match of the night. I thought it was technically the best fight. I thought it's the best we've seen of Shida, considering some of the dead weight that she's carrying in this division. I enjoyed this fight, and I hope we see more of Thunder Rosa. Apparently, she's defending the AEW title next week on TV. I'm sorry, the NWA title. I apologize. She's defending the NWA title next week. So it'll be interesting to see. I hope they keep Thunder Rosa even just as far as depth in the division. Otherwise, we're just going to get Shida versus Nyla Rose for the umpteenth time, which is looking what they're setting up again. So, thoughts on this one?
Thoughts?
Yeah.
I don't know about match of the night. I thought it was a good match, and I'm not the biggest Shida fan. But I thought it was a good match. You know, I don't know. Like I think it is just going to turn out like you said. I think, you know, it's just going to be Shida versus Nyla Rose, and that's that. I don't know how much Thunder Rosa is going to be around or be in the mix. But, I mean, hopefully, because then at least I'll have one other piece to play with. But, no, I thought it was a solid match. I thought, I would say it was definitely, to me, one of Sheeta's best matches. But, yeah, I don't know match of the night, but it was definitely, like, I could give it, like, second best, third best. It was top three.
Are you sold on Shida? I mean,
and
if you're not, are you sold on Shida? And if you're not, let me rephrase that. How would you compare Shida compared to the upper echelon of WWE's talent? Like, where do you stack her? Do you stack her in the top tier with your Beckys and your Charlottes? Do you have her middle of the pack?
No. Like, I feel like if she were in WWE, she'd be, and this is not an insult or a knock on anybody, but she'd be like a Natalya, you know, or
oh,
a,
wow, no, ah.
Or, damn it, why did I forget her name? Why am I drawing a blank? The Glow, Naomi.
Naomi? Wow. Because that to me is
Naomi,
like
Natalia, like, you know, I don't know. I think, you know, we'll see what happens later in her career. But at this point, no, like, there's, I don't think you could compare her to, like, the upper echelon, any of them in WWE.
And it's funny because
or maybe even not in NXT.
But that's what I'm saying. Even combining the entire rosters, I have her on that level with an Io Shirai. Like, I have her below your Beckys and your Charlottes and your top four, I guess, your big four. Like, you know, big five, Asuka, really. But I have her in that second tier with your Shayna Baszlers, your Io Shirais, your... what's her face? Bianca Belair. And actually, Bianca Belair is kind of a tweener right me because they're not using her right, but, like, she's in that second, third tier. But I have Sheeta in that second tier. I think
no,
she's,
I definitely do not.
She's head and shoulders. I think she's head and shoulders better than anything that's on that AEW roster. I think she can hang with an Io Shirai.
Yeah, but that's not saying a lot, though.
It's fair enough, but I think she can hang. Like, if you put her on the NXT roster right now, she's up there with a Candice LeRae or with a Io Shirai.
I disagree.
Wow.
I don't think so.
Wow. I'm wow. Okay. I'm a little surprised.
I think Nyla Rose is going to get the belt back.
Ugh. Ugh. And I don't say that because whatever. I say that because she's a tough sell. Because the only person that they built up that can beat this monster was either, I mean, look, Sheeta's better than me, Riho. You remember Riho?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a tough sell to believe that Riho beat Nyla Rose. You know what I'm saying? Like, Riho is about my sister's size. My sister's a pixie. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And I understand there's a lot of other shorter wrestlers out there like a Candice LeRae, but there's something about the way Candice LeRae presents herself where she doesn't feel small. Same thing would say with Zelina Vega. She doesn't feel small, even though Riho was tiny. I want to like Nyla Rose, and I just, unless they're going to bring back Awesome Kong, I'm just like, that division.
I mean, you want to talk about a mouthpiece. Now she has her mouthpiece.
Excuse me! Still in the way.
I mean,
great,
it's, it works. It's solid.
She needed that mouthpiece. She really did.
Excuse me.
Yeah, and Vicky is a good one.
Yeah, the vicious vixens. It works. You know, maybe this go round will be different for Nyla Rose. But it's like, it seems like they're setting up yet again Sheeta versus Nyla Rose, and it's like, I guess you remember I used to say that about New Day and the Usos. Oh, again.
Usos.
But then again. But then again, I always found joy out of New Day and the Usos because no match is ever the same. Each match is different. And at the same time,
they had a good rivalry.
You know, it's just, it can go either way. You know, I'm not saying we're going to get Steamboat, you know, Flair out of this, but I don't know. I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm genuinely surprised that you don't have Sheeta as high up on the echelon is I. So okay, here's another name. Is she better than Tessa Blanchard?
You know, I'm not that familiar with Tessa. I'm gonna hold on this one because I don't feel like I've seen enough Tessa to make a worthwhile, you know, comment about it.
Fair enough. So let's move on. The next match. Yeah, Matt Cardona, Scorpio Sky, and the Natural Nightmares. I can't stand them. Versus Dark Order. Again, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. It's blah. It didn't do too much for me. I mean, I don't know. It was. Yeah, it was. It wasn't even memorable. I don't even know what to say about it. Like, next.
Yo, all I want to know about this match is one thing. Well, first, I will say one thing about the only highlight of this match is how the Dark Order is now turning on Colt Cabana, as I call him. I stole that from the show, Bonnie. Colt Cabana. I like how they're turning on him.
That's anti-Semitic. So,
what's that?
That's anti-Semitic.
What? How they're turning on Colt Cabana?
Yeah, and calling him that, too.
I'm not calling him Colt Cabana because of his Judaism. I'm calling him Colt Cabana because he's down with the Dark Order. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Colt Cabana. So, but I want to know, who did Scorpio Sky piss the fuck off to get relegated to the QT Marshall match of the fucking night?
I have no
QT
idea. That's what
Marshall
I was wondering.
Bum. Yo, who did he piss off? I thought Sammy Guevara was in the doghouse. Who did Scorpio Sky piss off to get stuck carrying dead weight like QT Marshall? God, yo, you know, I like the days when jobbers had personalities like Barry Horowitz, Barry O, Iron Mike Sharp, Coco Beware. And yes, Coco Beware was a jobber. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. He was a glorified jobber, but he's still a jobber. I don't like QT Marshall. I think QT Marshall sucks. I don't know why they're pushing QT Marshall and Ali on me. They stink. They stink. Dustin Rhodes is carrying dead weight here with QT Marshall. I'm sorry. I just don't. I just want to know how we can get. That's what I want to know. Who do we give money to? Where do we raise funds to get Scorpio Sky out of the QT Marshall doghouse, as I call it? That's what I want to know. Anyway, because we're running out of time. FTR with Tully Blanchard is Adam Page and Adam Page and Kenny Omega. That's the cider kicking. What'd you think of that match?
I thought this was probably match of the night. I thought it was a very good match. I thought it was time for Omega and Page to break up, you know, amidst all, you know, that seems to be what's going on in the Elite. And FTR is, I mean, that's, you know, they earned it. I'm excited to see a FTR run. I think it's going to be good. But I thought the match was good. I thought this was match of the night.
You know, I didn't think I would get attached to the Adam Page, Kenny Omega era of tag team wrestling. And yet I actually, as I said last week, what I saw was kind of a mixed mesh team. Kind of just two singles put together a la Yokozuna and Owen Hart. Much like Yokozuna and Owen Hart, they made it work. And by the end of it, came out looking like a legit tag team. So I was a little heartbroken to see that this is the end. I do agree. They've been teasing this now. Well, since they got the title, really, they've been teasing this. You know, when they were showing Adam Page to be just a raging alcoholic. My thing in this, I don't know who the heel is. Are we supposed to believe the straight edgers are the good guys in this? Because, like, Kenny looks like an asshole in all this. And maybe it's just because I'm defending the alcoholic in the equation, but
I think Page is going to end up being the face.
It seems that way, don't it? But the thing is, it's at the beginning of all this, Paige looked like the asshole. You know, either you and I have either been that drunk friend or have had that drunk friend, my brother more than likely in the scenario. But, like, you know what it's like to have that one drunk friend in the crew where it's like, oh, here we go again, acting up, right? And in a lot of ways, that's what Adam Page started as to me. It's like, oh, the drunk asshole of the crew. Here you got your straight-edge buddies and the drunk asshole of the crew, right? And it seemed like he was the heel in all of this. And yet, as we've moved along, and it's been good storytelling because I agree with you. It seems like Adam Page is going to be the empathetic character, the face in all this, the guy you feel bad for. Because the straight edges sure look like assholes. And I don't know, Kenny, we're starting to see, and he's starting to drop the hints of the cleaner. Kenny the cleaner, you know what I mean? When he was that guy in the Bullet Club. We will forget, he was the leader of the Bullet Club. He was Kenny the cleaner. You know what I'm saying? He took care of business. Seven-star guy. I'm waiting to see that Kenny Omega, by the way. I've yet to see that Kenny Omega. Excuse me. Ugh, cider. Shout out to the Cranberry Orange.
Lord,
9-pin, baby.
Lord.
9-pin.
Lord.
But No, I do like, and you know, as I have a nice frosty alcoholic beverage in my hand, I do think that they're making Adam Page look like a sympathetic character and all this. The question is, who does he end up with? Because obviously he's not going to fight the Elite by himself, right? I mean, I don't think so.
No, I don't know. We'll see.
So I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him unite with FTR.
Yeah, that would actually be
I'd like to see that with
that's
Tully.
A possibility.
Tully as a mouthpiece. I love it. We got two matches left. 5 minutes. Orange Cassidy versus Chris Jericho in a Mimosa Mayhem match that I thought was kind of disappointing.
Listen, I'm a huge Orange Cassidy fan, and this match was trash. I mean, it was, I guess 10 minutes maybe, 15, which luckily it wasn't more than that. And every part of it was just one of them about to fall into the vat of mimosa, which basically looked like water with orange food coloring. There were no
like
bubbles
tang.
Or anything. And then, yeah.
It looked like a little
like,
bit of tang.
Yeah, something very acidic, apparently, because it messed up, you know, Le Champion's eyes.
I thought it was whack. I don't, maybe my expectations are higher. And I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the show. It's been the theme of the show is that maybe we have to start tempering our expectations with AEW. I don't even know why I thought this had potential to be any good, to be honest. I don't. When I'm thinking about it, it's like this is a notch barely above Buried Alive match. I don't know. This is on par
above,
with
like better than the Buried Alive match?
No, below. I meant to say below.
I was gonna say, I was like,
below.
Buried Alive match. I wasn't the biggest fan, but it was definitely better than this.
Yeah, I don't. And in hindsight, it's like, yeah, you're going to throw your opponent into a vat of mimosa. What a waste of champagne.
Well, obviously, there was no champagne.
Hey, Cape Babe, you goddamn right. That's real to me, baby. That was real Sampagni in there. Dom P. Anyway, because we got 3 minutes left. John Moxley versus MJF. I'm just going to say I was disappointed. I was ready for. Hashtag not my champion, and I'm gonna continue with that.
It was. I mean, I thought I didn't like the ending. I mean, it was stupid. The move is banned, and then he does it behind the ref's back. Like, what's the point of even banning it? Like I said, I thought this would be something that they're gonna give to Moxley to build up his, you know, his legacy. And it's like, you know, MJF was undefeated. And he was going to beat him, you know, even without his finishing move. But then he didn't beat him without his finishing move. And, like, the match itself, it just kind of seemed like they just wanted to, like, bust open MJF and, you know, bleed him. And, you know, it's supposed to be gory, I guess. But, I mean, the match was okay, but it should have been much better than it was. And I didn't like the end of it. Like, you know, I didn't want Moxley to win anyway. But, like, if he's going to win, make it make sense.
I didn't have a problem with him winning with the paradigm shift. I thought it was a rascally ending since he's supposed to be kind of the stone cold, heelish face. So that's how I saw it, which is why I didn't mind the ending. Where I did mind is I wanted MJF to win. I think the time for him is now. I don't know what they're going to do with this Warlord thing. It seems like they're going to shift him away from the title scene, which I hope not. Anyway, we are out of time. Man, it's Colt Cabana because it's Dark Order, okay? It's no anti-Semitism whatsoever. Don't be smirch my name.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right, man, we'll do it again next week. We'll talk new NXT champion next week. So we'll go over what's going on with NXT next week, all right? Peace.
All right, late.